Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Samach Aleph. We left off at the Mishnah on Daf Samach Amid Beis, toward the bottom of the page. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, his mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom, and also by the virtual Halacha program, a program to learn Halacha at a high level under the auspices of Harav Nevin Sal Shlita, with an option for smicha. Visit vhalacha.com for more information about the new Zman beginning next week, learning Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Basar B'Chalav, a wonderful opportunity to enhance Talmud Torah. So today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to talk about cases where three different cases of making a kiddushin dependent on land. Yesterday we discussed different cases of making a kiddushin dependent on money. So now we're going to talk about cases of making a kiddushin dependent on land. In fact, there's a Tosefta that adds a caveat to both the previous Mishnah and to this Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to discuss why we need the Tosefta to add the caveat to both Mishnayos. It's both the same basic idea. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if in different contexts, when a person speaks about a certain size of land, what about parts of the land that elevate 10 tefachim or that go down 10 tefachim? Is that included in the plot of land that we're speaking about? So when we talk about that halacha with regard to being makdish asada and being poda'it, and with regard to a mecher, with regard to a sale, and the halacha is going to be different in both cases. How do we deal with the parts of the land that are 10 tefachim deep when you're makdish the sada, and how do we deal with it when you are mocher the sada? It's different halacha. So the Gemara is going to say, okay, so when you're makadish and isha almanas, that you have a certain size of land, how do we deal with the pieces of, with the parts of that land that are 10 tefachim deep? Do we follow the model of hegdish, or do we follow the model of mecher? Then we're going to have the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to introduce us to the concept of tenai, and particularly how a person, how if we want to make a tenai, according to at least one sheet on the Mishnah, you need what's called a tenai kafel. We learn from B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain that the tenai needs to be formulated in a way where you don't only say if this, then that, you also have to say the other side, and if not this, then not that. And only when you have a tenai kafel is it going to work. And the Gemara is going to describe how Rav Meir learns from an extra word from the extra words Be'eretz Kanan by B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain that you need a tenai kafel. But Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel disagrees, and he holds that the entire pasuk is needed to teach that they will inherit a proportional piece of land regardless. So it's not there to teach me the concept of tenai kafel. So the Gemara is going to start issuing challenges to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So in our daf, we're going to have four different challenges to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel from four different places where Tanakh seems to unnecessarily spell out the kefel, right? So it seems like you do need a tenai kafel, and the Gemara is going to discuss in each case how Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel addresses those challenges, why it is that the Tanakh in those places spells out the kefel of the tenai. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Samach Amud Beis. So the Mishnah discusses again different ways of making kiddushin dependent on land. So case number one, almanas sheyesh li beis kor afar. If a person is mekadish nisha, almanas that he has a base core of afar. What does that mean? It means karka where he can plant a core of tavua, that the karka is sizable enough that you can grow a core which is a certain size, a certain amount, a certain volume of tavua of grain. Sareza mekadashas v'yesh lo. She's mekadashas as long as he actually has karka that can plant it, that can grow a base core of that's a base core of afar, that can grow a core worth of tavua. Second case, almanas sheyesh li b'makomploni. If he says almanas they have karka in a particular location, so good. If he has karka in that place, then mekadeshes. And if he doesn't have karka in that place, then ain't a mekadeshes. What if he says third case, almanas sha'arich base core afar, almanas that I will show you a base core of afar, hareis mekadesh. So she's Mekadeshes, but he's got to show that he owns karka of that size. But ve'imehera bibika, if he just shows her a piece of land, but it's not his, you know, in mukadeshes, then it's in mukadeshes, right? If he says, harayim mukadeshes almanas, that I'll show you real estate like you've never seen, and then he just goes and shows her Manhattan, and so isn't that amazing real estate? But it's not any real estate that he owns. So then she's on mukadeshes. She assumed that it meant that he owns that real estate. So now we said that if he made it tonight, that he has a karka that's a shear of a base kur, she's mukadeshes v'yeshlo. Now the mashmos of v'yeshlo is that only if we know for sure that yeshlo, it's mukadeshes. But if we don't know for sure, if we don't have edus or evidence that yeshlo, then vaday she's ena mukadeshes, then there's no kiddushin at all. So ask the Gemara, why? V'nechosh shema yeshlo, even if we don't have evidence that he necessarily has this amount of land, shouldn't we be choshish that maybe he has this amount of land? Plus we have a price that says that we're choshesh shema yeshlo, that we have to be choshesh that maybe he has this amount of land. So it says Gemara lo kasha. That's not a kasha. There's no machlokas between the Mishnah and the Tosefta. Ha b'kiddushe vaday, ha b'kiddushe safek. Our Mishnah is saying, what does it take to know for sure that there's kiddushin? Oh, to know for sure that there's kiddushin, so that you have to have edus, you have to have clear evidence that he has this amount of land. What does it take to have kiddushe safek? Just not to know for sure that he doesn't have it. Meaning we always have to, it's always going to be a kiddushe safek, because we can never know for sure that he doesn't have this amount of land somewhere, so therefore it's always going to be a kiddushe safek. At least the question is it a kiddushe vaday? Okay, so for kiddushe vaday, only if you have absolute evidence. Now that conversation may sound familiar, because we had the exact same discussion in yesterday's daf. Because in yesterday's daf we said al menas that he has masayim zuz, so we said the yeshlo, that she's mukadeshes of yeshlo. The Tosefta, the Gemara asked the same question, and if we don't have edus that yeshlo, isn't it possible that he has it somewhere and he's hiding the money in a Swiss bank account somewhere, and therefore shouldn't she be mukadeshes at least misafik? We said, yeah, the Tosefta says mukadeshes misafik, that she is mukadeshes misafik. It's only she's the only way to be mukadeshes vaday is if we know for sure, if we have edus and it's yeshlo. So the Gemara, that begs the question, lami l'misa gabi arav, lami l'misa gabi zuzay. Why does the Tosefta have to make the same qualification both on the Mishnah about land and on the Mishnah about money? Meaning, obviously, if this qualification is true about money, it's true about land as well. That you always have to be choshesh, that maybe it's there, even if it's not there, and therefore it's a kiddushei safek regardless. So it says more tzricha. So again, the question is not why the Mishnayis have to tell these. Question is on the Tosefta, that the Tosefta adds this detail, that if you don't have the evidence, she's still mukadeshes misafek, right? That detail, why is it necessary both by land and by money? So says Mar Tzricha, Diashmin Gabi Zuzi, if this din would have only been taught to us with regard to money, so I would say, yeah, by money you have to worry that maybe he has it even if we can't find any evidence that we have it. Meaning, you hire a forensic accountant or whatever to try to find it. Even if we can't find the evidence, people have very creative ways of hiding money. Mishum Davidi Inshi Demitzni. People hide money all the time. Aval Ara, Amy Idisayara Kala, it's much harder to hide real estate, to hide land. So if there was land, we would assume that we would have known about the land. So if the Tosefta wouldn't tell me that, I would have thought that she's only Mukadeshes when there's evidence that there's land. And if there's no evidence that there's land, then there probably isn't land, and therefore she's Eina Mukadeshes. So that's why the Tosefta tells me, no, even by land, she's it's Safek Kiddushin. So Kamash Malan, that's why the Tana has to tell me that it's still Safek Kiddushin, even by land. Now the question then begs itself, so why not flip it, right? Why doesn't the Tosefta tell me just about the land that it's Safek Kiddushin? And I'll say, ooh, if I have to be choshesh that he's hiding land somewhere, then Kal v'chomer, in the case of money, I have to be choshesh that he's hiding money somewhere. So the Rashba writes that in a chinami, that would be very logical, but the way the Tosefta is written is in the Seder HaMishnayis. So since the Mishnah about money comes before the Mishnah about land, so that qualification of money is going to appear, and once I have that qualification of money, I still need the qualification about land, but it doesn't happen in the reverse, because the Mishnah Mishnayos are not written in the verse, in the reverse. Why are the Mishnayos not written in the reverse? Okay, that could be for other reasons. But the Tosefta is just working off of the Mishnayos. The Meiri says differently. He says, if the Tana would have only taught me this din by Karka, I would have thought that by money, even if I don't know whether he has the money or not, that she's Mukadeshes mi Bitoris Vadai. Meaning, I would have thought, who doesn't have Masayim Zuz somewhere? Meaning, right, there are all these ways of, you know, the finding money that people owe you that you don't even know about, and that you know, so he must have 200 zuz somewhere that he's unaware of, and therefore the Tan has to let us know that even by money it's Einu Mekadesh Kiddushei Vadai, but Kiddushei Safek. Now we had said in the Mishnah Al Menash Yeshli B'Makom Ploni Im Yeshlo, that we said if he's Mekadesh Nisha Al Menash, that he has karka in a particular place, so only if he has karka in that place, she's mukadeshes, otherwise she's not mukadeshes. Pshita, obviously, if he doesn't have karka in that place, then the tanai was not fulfilled, and she's not mukadeshes. Now, mal detema, amar la, my nafkalach mina, I might have thought that even if he has karka somewhere else, it should be considered a fulfillment of the tanai, because the man could say to the woman, what difference does it make to you if the karka is in that place or it's in a different place? Who do you think is going to be the one working the karka and bringing back the produce from the karka? And not tarachna maisina. So it's a little bit further from our house, but I'm the one that has to deal with the commute. You're not the one that has to deal with the commute. I'm going to be matriach and bring it. So kamashmala, and that's why the Tan has to tell us, afal pikein, shizeinu mukadeshes, that's not a fulfillment of the tanai. The tanai was that he has karka in a particular place. So the fact that he doesn't think it makes a difference whether it's in that place or in a different place is irrelevant. She might think it makes a difference, and therefore we just stick with the words of the Tanai. The words of the Tanai, whether it has to be in this place. Al Menas She'erich Beis Kor Afar. We then said in the Mishnah that if he says Al Menas that I'll show you a Beis Kor of Afar, she's Mukadesh as long as he's able to show her Beis Kor of Afar that he owns. So the Gemara explains why is it the Gemara says Tana Lo Niskav Nezu El Liros Mishalov, that the Tosefta says that the reason she's in Mukadesh is when he shows her other people's land is because clearly the Kavana was to show her his land of the Beis Kor V'im Herab Bebika in Mukadesh, and that's why the Mishnah spells out if he shows her in a bika where he doesn't own it, so then Zeinu Mekadeshes. Well, Pshita, obviously, he only meant to show her his piece of land, so that meaning the Tanai meant that he's got to own the land. So it says, well, Lotzricha Denokit Bidistura. The Tana doesn't need to tell me that if he shows her karka that he has no shaykhus to whatsoever, that she's Zeinu Mekadeshes. That's obvious that if he just shows her karka, she knows that karka exists in the world, meaning that's not that couldn't possibly be the Tanai. So that's obvious. No, the case is that this person bought this karka by arisos. He became an arus, and he works for the bala karka, and he gets a percentage as a payment. So even so, Seinu Mekadeshes, because it's not karka shalom mamish. It's not really his karka. He's an employee who has a stake in that karka in the sense that he gets a percentage of what the karka produces. But that's not called his karka. In the Shita L'Nodal Mi, raises the question, why does the Tana have to tell me this chiddush? Again, we already learned this chiddush by money. So why do you have to write by we said that if he's in yesterday's daf, that if he was the if he's an investment banker or whatever, so he's running a fund that has $10 billion. So even though he's working on it, that's not considered his. So it's the same chiddush over here that he's working on this karka, he gets money out of this karka, but it's not his karka. It's the same chiddush. So Shitul Lo Noda Lemi explains that legabe a business investment, I would have thought that it's not a kiyumah tanai because he can't take out that money for his own personal needs, and the tana needs to be mechadesh that even when he has karka barisus and he eats mamish from it, meaning he takes the peros and brings it home to eat from it, so that's considered, I would think that's considered more his, that you have more of an ownership stake in the karka than you do in money, that you have to use every penny of that money to invest elsewhere, and it's only the proceeds of that investment that are going to get you something. But the karka, it's actually the actual payers of the karka that you get to take home. Okay. Now the Ritva points out that if he owns karka that's meshubah to balichov, then she is mukadeshes. Meaning you might say, yeah, okay, so he's got a lot of karka, but he also owes a lot of people a lot of money. People are going to be able to take this karka from him. But so long as they haven't, it's still considered his. So the Ritva says that's still considered mukadeshes. So now the Gemara discusses what if a person's mekadesh nisha with the tenai that he has a base core of afar, and he has a base core, but part of that base core is not royal Uzriya. So is that a fulfillment of the Tanai if you can't plant in part of that area? So as a way of introducing that discussion, the Gemara is going to quote two other Mishnayos, one that talks about being makdish a base core, and the other one that talks about selling a base core, and then we're going to try to figure out what the halacha is going to be if you're makdish an isha, amanasi, you have a base core. So the background is when you're makdish a stei achuza, I mean, you have a field that you got by Yerusha, during the period of time that Yovel was noeg, so you poda it based on a valuation that the Torah gives, it's almost like arachin, where there's a set valuation. You don't just assess the value of the karka, and the set valuation is zera chomer saorim bechamishim shekel kasef. That a karka that you could plant a chomer saorim in, which is a shear that's called the base core, is your poder for chamishim shekel kasef, and it doesn't matter whether it's worth actually a lot more than that or a lot less than that. That's the valuation that the Torah gives. So gabe hektish. We have a Mishnah Maseches Arachin Legabe Hagdish that tells us as follows: Hamakdish Sadehu Bishas Yovel. If a person's Makdish his field, his Yerusha field in the times that Yovel are Noeg, and now he wants to be poda it, Nosin Bezera Chomer Saorim, he gives for a piece of land that you could plant a Chomer Saorim Chamishim Shekel Kesef, like the Torah says. But here's the key: Hayunikayim Amukim Asar Tfachim. But let's say there are holes in the ground that are 10 Tfachim deep. O Sloim Gavo. Where there are rocks on the ground that are 10 tefachim high, ein nimdadim ima. Then they are not measured together with the field to be nifta by that shear. Those your poda bishavim. Just you do an assessment what they're actually worth, and that's how you poda those parts of the field. But pachus mikan, if they're less than 10 tefachim deep, less than 10 tefachim high, nimdadim ima. Then they are measured together with the rest of the field by the same valuation, the automatic valuation that's given in the Torah of chamishim shekel kesef. So we ask them that it's mistaver that you're not going to measure the walls of those ditches in the field together with the rest of the field. That you're not going to consider part of the shetach of karka, but at least the bottom, the floor of those boros that are in the field, you should measure that as part of the field to be nifta together with the chamishim shekel kasef. So v'chitema kamadulohavi base core lochashiv. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, but if these holes themselves are less than a base core, then they're not chashuv enough to be measured, and therefore the Mishnah says einim dadim mak is because they're considered their own separate field, and any separate field that's so tiny doesn't get measured and evaluated by that by the valuation given in the Torah or a minu. But I'll ask you a stira, because the Torah says that sada, it says ve'im yisteach uzaso yakdish ish la'Hashem. So the word stay is extra because the Torah could have just said v'imeach uzaso yakdish ish la'Hashem, and I would have known that we're talking about a field. Matam alomar, why does the Torah have to say the word stay lefishanemar? Because the pasuk when it talks about the shear of pidyon, it says zera chomer saorim bechamishim shekel kesef. So ainly ela hikdish b'inyan hazeh. I would only learn from this pasuk that you can't be pulled the karka based on its actual value when you're makdish in such a way where it's a zera chomer saorim, which is a base core. Minayim l'rabos. How do I know that even if you're makdish much tinier amounts, like a lesech, which is half a core, chatzi lesech, a quarter of a core, sa'a, tirkav, chatzi tirkav, afilu rova, that no matter how tiny the piece of land your makdish is, you still go with this valuation. Minayin, how do I know that the pidyon is still based, it's proportional to the pidyon suggested in the Torah of a base core of chamishim shekel kesef? So for half of that it will be 25 shekel kesef, for a quarter of that 12.5 shekel kesef. So how do I know that that's true? Tamalomar's day, mikol makom, that whatever kind of field it is, no matter how tiny it is. So you see mefurish in the Braisa that even a karka that's very, very tiny, you're poda based on this shear. So the shaila stands, why don't I measure together with the rest of the karka, the nekayim of the karka, the crevices in the karka? Granted, they're 10 tefachim deep, but count the bottom, the floor of that 10 tefach bor, of that 10 tefach neka in the karka. That should also be counted. Even if it's not part of the field, it should be counted on its own to be niftes.
based on that cheshbon. So it says Mar Ukva Barchama Hacha Ben Koyim Melei Mayim Maskinan Mishum Delav Ben Ezria Dinu. No. Over here, we're talking about where it's full of water. So if it's not just 10 tefachim deep, but it's full of water, you can't plant in there. So that's why the Torah says that the shear of Zera Chomer Saorim, which is derived, which the Torah's shear of Zera Chomer Saorim doesn't apply to such parts of the land. But Karka that's not Roy Lizria, because Karka that's not Roy Lizria, you just have to be poda lefi shavya. You can't be poda based on the shear given in the Torah. So that's why the Mishnah says that it's a nimda, it's not measured together with the rest of the field. They have to be poda b'fnei atzmo, and you're poda b'shavya. Daikanami, and it's meduyuk in the Mishnah that way. Dekutani dumyu d'slam gavoim, that it lists depressions in the ground that are more than 10 tefachim, together with rocks that are more than 10 tefachim high. So shmamina, so the rocks you can't plant on, so too the depressions in the ground must be something that's unplantable, and that's why it's when you redeem it, you assess it separately based on its actual value and not based on the Torah value. Something that can't be planted, then why does it have to be 10 tefachim deep? Even if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, the halacha should be the same. So it says, hanu nagni da'aru mikru, shidru da'aru mikru. Whenever you have slight elevations and slight depressions in the ground, that's just the nature of the topography of Earth. That it's just always like that, that you're always going to have in any field slight elevation, slight depression. So that's just considered part of the field. But once it's a separate unit from the field, what makes it separate? 10 tefachim is what makes it separate. So now I need to know, do I measure this as a based on the Torah valuation or based on the actual valuation? So if it's plantable, Torah valuation. If it's not plantable, actual valuation. Still not part of the karka, it's its own separate field, but you could have a very tiny field that you have to assess based on the Torah valuation if you're able to plant there. So that's when it comes to being makdish. That's how we handle areas that are 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high when it comes to being poded that which you are makdish. Gabi mecher tanan, what about when it comes to selling a piece of land? So that we have a Mishnah Maseches Babasra. First Mishnah was Maseches Arachin, now we're in Mishnah Maseches Babasra. Home l'chaveru based. Someone tells his friend, I'm selling you karka that could plant a base kur. And in that karka, you have depressions that are 10 tefachim deep or 10 tefachim high. So that's not measured together with the rest of the field for what's included in the sale. But if it's less than 10 tefachim deep or high, then it is considered to be included in the sale. And that's true even if they're not full of water. If it's 10 tefach deep or 10 tefach high, it's not included in the sale, in the measurement of what you're selling, even if it doesn't have water in it, meaning even if it's plantable. My time, why is it that even if you're able to plant in those nekayim, are they not mashlim the shear of the base core that you're selling? Some Rav Papa, if you shade the rosh, she didn't as most of besoda. No one wants to give his money for one field and end up in two or three different places that are separated from each other because there are nekaim, because there are these crevices in the land. Even though they're ro'i lizria, because it's a big tircha to go and be choresh and be zorea and be kotzer in two separate fields. Much bigger tircha in two fields than there is in one field. So his kavana was to buy a base court without any nekaim. So now that I see that there's a chilik between the dinim of hegdish and the dinim of mecher when it comes to a base core that has nekayim that are 10 tefachim deep, that legabe hegdish only if it's malei mayim, do we say that it's not measured together with the field, as opposed to by mecher, even if it's not malei mayim, it's not measured together with the field. So the Gemara says, okay, so what if I'm mekadish nisha b'tanai that I have karka of a base core, and I have karka of a base core, but it's got these nekayim that are asar tefachim deep, so does that count to the shear of base core or not? So hachamai, over here by by being mekadish nisha, what's the din? Lehegdish mitamin in love? Do we compare it to Hegdish that if it doesn't have, if in the Chaim are not Malay and Mayim, they count toward the Shir of a base core and it's a Kiyum of the Tanai? Or do we say that it's like a mecher, that even if the nekayim are empty and roi lizria, they're not counted toward the shir? So mistavra la hektish medamin la, more mistavra that will compare it to hektish, that only if it's malei mayim, it doesn't count. Damala anatarachim vizaran maisina, because the man could say to the woman, what do you care if it's one field or two or three different fields? I'm the one planting it, I'm the one plowing it, I'm the one bringing everything, so I'll be matriach, it doesn't make a difference, it will be the same base core for you, one way or the other. So the Rishonim point out the obvious challenge that previously we said that if he is Mekadish Ra'al Menas, that he has karka bin Mekom Ploni, and he has karka somewhere else. Mal Detema, I might have thought that he could say, what difference does it make to you where it is? I'm going to be the one that schleps and brings it anyway. Kamash Malon, that no, he said Mekom Ploni, it's got to be in that Mekom. So why don't we say over here that it's got to be in one place and not in multiple places? So the Rashba and the Tosri Azakin explain that over there, he made a beferusha tonight that he has karka b'makom ploni. So since there's a little bit of a hefsid in the way that where it is by schlepping from a further place, it's not a kiyum of tonight in the lashon that he made the tonight. So then that ruins the whole thing. But over here, it's not a bitul mefurush of the tonight. He just said base korafer, so it's just a matter of accounting. It's a matter of cheshbonin. So it's not a mefurish abitl of the tanai. So then we can go with svara and say that mistaver, she doesn't really mind that much if he's the one that's going to have to do the extra schlepping. Okay, now we have a new mishnah. So this mishnah introduces the sugya of tanai, and all dinim of tanai are derived from the tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made with bnei Gad and bnei Reuven by chalukah sa'aretz. That after Klal Yisrael conquered Eretz Gilad and Ever Yarden on the eastern side of the Yarden, so bnei Gad and bnei Reuven wanted to be mekabel that area as their nachla in exchange for their chelek in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Yeah, no problem. But tonight that your yavru chalutzim, you go out l'melchama together with your brothers in kibush Eretz Yisrael." The Torah says, "Ve'yomer Moshe aleim im yavru bnei Gad bnei Reuven itchem es yarden kol chalutz l'melchama l'fnei Hashem v'nich b'sha'aretz l'fneichem, and you're going to go and conquer the land together with everyone else." Unesatam v'nesaretz agila da'achuza v'in. And then you'll get Eretz Hagilad as Achuza. V'im lo yavru chalutzim itchem v'nochuz b'sochem b'Eretz Kanan. But if you don't, then you're going to be nochuz b'sochem b'Eretz Kanan. Then you're just going to get a regular chalik in Eretz Yisrael like everybody else. So the Mishnah quotes a machlokas tanayim. Do we need that tanay to be a tanay kafel like Moshe Rabbeinu made it? So Meir Omer, call tanay she'enu katay b'nei Reuven, enu tanay. If you're not kofel the tanay, you don't double over the tanay in both directions, then it's not a valid tanay. Funny way for the Mishnah to start with the words Meir Omer. Normally, whenever you start with the name of the Tana, it means that he's arguing on something. Omer, Rabbi Meir, would be that he's introducing a new din. Rabbi Meir Omer sounds like he's arguing on that which we had said previously, as if someone said something, but Rabbi Meir says, meaning in distinction to what was said previously. So the Ramban said, yeah, because all the previous Mishnayos we just had about Almanas that I have Masayim Zuz, Almanas that I have Beis Korafar, all these different things, it never had a Tanai Kofel in any of these Mishnayos. So if it wasn't Kofel the Tanai in any of these Mishnayos, so you see that the previous Tanai held that you don't need a Tanai Kofel. So a Meir is coming to be Cholik on those previous Mishnayos and say, no, you Taka do need a Tanai Kofel. So anyway, so that's Rameir Shita, that anytime there's no Tanai Kafel, it's not a valid Tanai. The Rishon raised the question, okay, so it's not a valid Tanai, but we have an Umdina that he only wants the Kinyan to be Chal if this thing is fulfilled. So what do I care if it's technically a Tanai? It is an Omed Das, meaning we know what his Das is. His Das is that he only wants it to be fulfilled if this happens. So the Rashba explains that since he said it Beloshon Tanai, and he didn't bother saying it following the protocols of Tanaim, the dinim of Tanaim, it's a raya that he's not really so makbid about it. And therefore, the maisa is going to be chal even if the Tanai is batel. Meaning, if he really cared about it, he would have taken the time and the effort to express it properly. Elamai, from the fact that he didn't express it properly, shows that he doesn't really care about that Tanai. So it's not such an umdina that he really means it in that way. The Ravid, however, disagrees. The Ravid says, you're right. It is an umdina. And an umdina works by dinim. So by dinim mamonis, in a chenami, you don't need a tanai kafel. Big chiddush. The rabbi says, you know, when you need a tanai kafel for gittin, for kiddushin, for things like that, where umdina is not enough, where you need it to be glat, you need it to be solid. So by gittin and by kiddushin, that's where you need a tanai kafel. Even l'shitas Rabbi Meir, that's the shitas arrived. But anyway, so Rabbi Meir says you need a tanai kafel. Without a tanai kafel, it's not a valid tanai. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, and the Mishnah paraphrases the pasuk. The pasuk actually says, "Vayomer Moshe Aleihem im yavru bnei Gad ubnei And then it goes on to say, "Vim lo yavor chalutzu mitchem and also besochem meretz Kenan." So we learn from there that the saying one side of the Tanai doesn't help, and you don't say mechal lava tashmeyahein. You need to be kofel the Tanai and say beferush what's going to happen if it's not fulfilled. So Rabbi Chanin Begamliel and Rabbi Chanin Begamliel says, "Nah, you cannot learn from the lashon of the Tanai that Moshe Rabbeinu made with the Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain that every Tanai needs to be kofel, because by the Tanai Bnei God of Bnei Ruvain there was a reason Moshe had to spell it out." He had to say that if you don't come chalutzim, then you're going to get your chelek in Eretz Canaan, but not this special piece on Eivrei Yarden. Shel Malikain, because had Moshe Rabbeinu not spelled it out, Yesh Mashmash Shafil Eretz Canaan Lein Chalu, I would have thought that the other side would be, and if you don't come and help, you get nothing. You don't even get your piece in Eretz Canaan. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to spell out that if you don't come, well, we're not going to change who gets what in Eretz Canaan, so you'll still get a chelek like everybody else. So now the Gemara explains what Rameir is going to respond to that Tainer Rav Chanin Megamliel, meaning Mechal Avat Hashemei Hain makes sense when it's Mestaber, that if you fulfill this tonight, then yes, and if not, then I know what the answer would be. So if I'm spelling it out, it must be because there's a halachic requirement to spell it out. But when there are multiple possibilities of if no, then it could be A or B, then of course you got to spell it out, because I don't know what it means. So Rabbi Chanin Megamliel's point is well taken over here, Lechora, that Moshe Rabbeinu needs to spell out what happens if they don't fulfill this Tanai, because it's not so clear, it's not so obvious. So Shapir Kamle Rabbi Chanin Megamliel Rameir, Rabbi Chanin Megamliel's a good point. So Amalach Rameir, Rameir would respond, Yisal Kadaitach. If you think that this has nothing to do with Tanai Kafel, lichtov v'imlo yavru v'nochsu b'sochem. He could have just said that, that imlo yavru v'nochsu b'sochem, that you're not going to lose your chelek entirely, you'll get a chelek like all the other shvatim in Eretz Canaan and in Eretz Gilad. When he says be'eretz Canaan, the extra words be'eretz Canaan, lomeli, what's he adding by saying those extra words? Shema mino the Tanai Kafel u'da'asa. It must be he's adding those words to let us know that you need a Tanai Kafel. And I had in Moshe Rabbeinu not made a Tanai Kafel, then there is no Tanai. Rabbi Chanin Megamliel and Rabbi Chanin Megamliel would respond that you don't need a Tanai Kafel. Ilo Kasav Rachmana Beretz Kanan, had it not said the words Beretz Kanan, it only would have just said V'nochsu B'sochachem, Hava Amina, I would have thought that the Torah means V'nochsu B'sochachem, that they're going to get a chelek with the rest of the Shvatim Be'eretz Gilad, because they actually helped in the kibush of Eretz Gilad, Aval Eretz Kanan, Klalo, meaning I would have thought not that they get an even chelek in all parts, Eivrei Yarden as well as Eretz Canaan. No, I would have thought that they get an even chelek in Eretz Gilad, because at least they helped with Eretz Gilad. And if you don't help with Eretz Canaan, you get zero in Eretz Canaan. Rameir would say, Besochachem, Kalecha di Isluchu Mashma. No, from the word Besochachem, I see that they get an equal chelek in all parts, because Besochachem implies wherever you are, they are. So the Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain will get wherever the rest of Klal Yisrael gets. So now the Gemara brings a brisa, where Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel explains himself using a mashal. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel. Mashal ma dover dome. Lo'adam shei mechalik nechas of lebanav. It's like a person who's dividing up his estate to his children. Va'amar ploni b'ni yirish sada plonis. Ploni b'ni yirish sada plonis. Reuven gets this field, and my son Shimon gets this field. Uploni b'ni yitein masayim zuz v'yirish sada plonis. And Levi, he's got to give his brothers 200 zuz, and then he'll get this field. V'im lo yitein, and if he doesn't give the 200 zuz, then he'll get an equal chelek with his brother in the other two fields that they're getting. So migaram lo lirish im echav bishar nechasim. What dibor caused this third son to be yorish with his brothers in the other nechasim when he's not mekayim the tanai of paying the 200 zuz? Kfelo garam lo. It's the doubling over of the tanai, because when the father said that he'll give him a sayim zuz and he'll yorish the third field, so it would have been possible to understand that if he's not kind of Tanai, so he'll only divide the third field with his brothers, but he's not going to get a chelik in the other two fields, and Kolshkein, he's not going to be makabel chelik in the third field that corresponds to his chelik in the other two fields that are given to his brothers. So by being kovel the Tanai, the father's saying that if he doesn't give them a sayim zuz, he's going to divide evenly with his brothers, even in the other nechasim. So to Moshe Rabbeinu was manchil the aseres hashvatim eretz Yisrael, like the father that's being manchil his two sons, the two fields, and the Gabe, the outlier child, the Bnei Gadu, Bnei Ruvain, he's being manchil Eretz Gilad, b'tenai, that they give something to their brothers, that they yavru chalutzim l'melchama, b'Eretz Canaan. And we could have understood that if they're not, if you don't make that, that if they're not mekayim that tonight, then they're not going to get Eretz Canaan at all, and they're not going to get Eretz Gilad corresponding to Eretz Canaan. I mean, they're not going to get a piece in Eretz Gilad that would equal what their portion in Eretz Canaan would have been. They'll just get a chelik shava to the rest of the shvatim only in Eretz Gilad. But by being kofel the tonight, it's being mechadesh that even without the kiyum tonight, they're still going to get their portion in Eretz Canaan. So I'll just use that mashal. Unclear why that mashal makes it any more move on. Normally, Marshall is supposed to bring things karovel seichel that it was not understandable before. So you have a hard enough time matching up the mashal to what's going on over there. But okay, but Rabbi Chaim Gamliel makes his point that without the Tanai Kofel, it wouldn't have been clear what actually happens over here. So that's so it's not that there's a technicality you need a Tanai Kofel. It's just that it had to be clear what's going on over here. So says Maravalo Damya Mashal Lemasnisin. The mashal is actually not like the Mishnah at all, because Hasam Katani. You know, Mishnah says that if the Tanai would not have been kafel, yesh mashma shafilu beretz Canaan leinchalu, then if the Tanai was not fulfilled, then even in Eretz Canaan, which they have rejected, they won't be nochal. So kolshkin, they're not going to be nochal Eretz Gilad, which they wanted. Al mekfeil Eretz Gilad nami mahani, which is muchach that the kafel of the Tanai helped for them to be nochal Eretz Gilad as well, because without it, they wouldn't have been nochal Eretz Gilad nor Eretz Canaan. Vahacha katani, but in the Brisa it says that Rabbi Chanina says mi garam lo lirishamach b'shar nechas. Him in the other two fields, kfeilo garamlo alma kfeilo sharno chasim with the kamani. Sounds like the kefil of tonight only helped for the other fields, but not for the original for the third field that he was supposed to get anyway. So it sounds that according to Rabbi Chanina, even in the nimshal, Bnei God would have been nochal in Eretz Gilad that they helped to be kovish even without the kefil of the Tanai. So Rabbi Chanina in our Mishnah doesn't equal Rabbi Chanina in the Brisa, because his mashal in the Brisa doesn't match what he says in the Mishnah. So it says Marlo Kasha. It's not a Kasha. Ha mekami dinem leremeir v'nochazu. Halabasa dinem leremeir v'nochazu. Rabbi Chanina in the Mishnah is without when he says without the kefil of the Tanai, they would not have been nochal even in Eretz Gilad. That would said before Rabbi Meir told him that if that's what the Torah meant to be mechadish, that without the kiyum of the Tanai, there'll be nochal with the other shvatim, it would have been enough to say v'nochsu b'sochem. And Rabbi Chanina held that according to Rabbi Meir, the entire pasuk is for that is for that reason. And therefore he responds that without the pasuk v'nochsu b'sochem Eretz Canaan, I would have thought that without the kiyum of the Tanai, they don't get anything anywhere. But once Rabbi Meir told them that v'nochsu b'sochem and the words be'eretz had the words Beretz Canaan not appeared, it's only there for a Tanai Kafel. So klape that argument of Rav Meir, Rav Chanina says the mashal that just like the third son without the father spelling it out would have been nochal only the son of Shlishis, so too without the Torah adding Beretz Canaan, Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain only would have gotten Besochem in Eretz Gilad, and the Torah has to therefore say Beretz Canaan to tell me that they get the peace in Eretz Canaan as well. So now the Gemara starts challenging Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Challenge number one. Bishlam the Rabbi Meir Duksiv im Tetiv Seisvlam v'im lo Tetiv lepesachatas rovet stuff yomi coincidence, right? This week's parsha that I understand very well according to Rabbi Meir. That's why the pasuk says Hashem is kofel the Tanai with Kayin, and he says if you do good then you'll get schar, and if you don't do good lepesachatas rovet peronas are going to come very quickly. So without being kofel the Tanai, I would have thought that if he doesn't do good he's not going to get schar. Because Tanai is not kafel, it's not mevatel the matana el Rabbi Chanina lamali. But according to Rabbi Chanina, why do you need to say im lo tetiv? Isn't it obvious? I would realize michlal hey not to shmei alav anyway. So salka deit chamina. No, Rabbi Chanina Gamliel says it wouldn't be so obvious what the halacha is im lo tetiv. I would have thought im tetiv igra that you'll get rewarded im tetiv im lo tetiv lo igra lo dina, that you get neither reward nor punishment. Kamashman, that's why he has to say lepesachatus rovets. No, you can get punishment. Second challenge. Bishlam Rav Meir Hainu Duchsiv, when Avram Avinu sends Eliezer is ever to get a wife for Yitzchak, and he makes him take a shvua that he's not going to take from the Benos Canaan, and he's told the chalos of the shvua and the Tanai that he's not going to go to his family first. So Avram Avinu has to add Oz Tinoka Me'alasi that Kisavol Mishpachti V'im Lo Yitnul Chavayisa V'yisa Naki Me'alasi, that only if you go to my family and they won't give you anyone, you can't find anyone, you can't find the shidduch there, then you're clean of this Shavua. Because if he would not have been Kofel and said that, the Shavua would have been Chal on Eliezer, even if he is Mekayim the Tanai. El Rebbe Chanin Megamliel Lamali, according to Rebbe Chanin Megamliel, why is it necessary for the Kofel? So it's Chsal Katayt Chamina Hecha Denichal Lidida, Velo Nichal Lididhu, Maisi Bal Korchayu. I might have thought that if the woman was happy to come, but the B'nai Mishpacha were not happy to send her, that Eliezer would have to kidnap her, extract her from her B'nai Mishpacha. So Kamash Milan, that's why Avraham Avinu says, no, if they're not willing to send her, Az Tinaka Me'alasi, they have to be willing to do so. Vim Lo Tova Isha Lamali, why does he then have to say Vim Lo Tova Isha? Once the Gemara is talking about the Shavua of Avraham Avinu, with, according to Rabbi Chanina, how he's going to resolve it, so we just make another diuk in the Pasuk, that since he already said Im Lo Yitnu Lo Isha Mimishpachas Avram, that she's going to be part of from the Shavua, why does he have to say Im Lo Tovi Isha? What does that add? So it's Salka that Chamina Hecha Dinichalu Liditu Velo Nichalu Lidida Naisi Bal Korcha Kamash Milan, that not only does her family have to approve, she has to approve also. So because I would have thought maybe she doesn't have to approve. Third challenge, Bishlam Ramei Rehainu Duchsiv in the Parsha of the Brachas and the Klaus and the Tocha Im Bechukosai Telechu, and also what happens Vim Bechukosai Timasu. Why do you need to spell out the other side? So it's rich. Salka Dait Chaminim Bechukosai Telechu Bracha Vim Bechukosai Timasu Lo Bracha Velo Klala. I might have thought that in Bechukosai Timasu, okay, there won't be Bracha, but there's also not going to be Klala. So Kamash Milan, that's why the Torah is telling me in these Pesukim that no, in Bechukosai Timasu there's going to be a lot of Klala as well. Okay, so Beis Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow with the fourth challenge for Bichonim Begamliel. Everyone have a good Shabbos. Yeah.